That's to suggest to you that there's one thing going on in the female and one thing going on in the male. Just one. We'll see if I can persuade you today. You don't have to be persuaded at this point because it's complex, right? It's complex. You hear that? It's complex. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's complex, not just to be dismissive of the intensity of the problem. I'm not going to pretend that it's not a problem. I'm simply going to say that we need to be encouraged the fact that we can get out of these things more quickly and easier than we can imagine, which should be a hopeful statement and give us a sense of encouragement. But I'm going to take the position that one thing's going on in her and one thing's going on in him, but here's the challenge. They're not the same. And when her spirit deflates, it's over something that troubles her that doesn't trouble us as males, typically speaking. I want you to think bell curve here. In academic research, there's always an exception. There's nothing that's going to be 100% true. But because something's not 100% true doesn't mean that it lacks statistical significance. And the point is, you have this dynamic where she deflates over something that he can't believe that's upsetting her, at which he says, "Oh, brother." But not only does he dismiss it as childish, he's recognizing that she's blaming him for her reaction. That if he were different, she wouldn't react that way. And the same thing. He deflates or gets provoked, and she, "Oh, it's all about you." That profile on narcissism nailed it. It's all about you. But not only does she dismiss the fact that he's upset over what she considers a childish reaction, she's insulted that he would hold her responsible for his reaction. And this dynamic happens among all of us. I spoke to five NFL football, head football coaches, their spouses for 3 hours, and I said, "Do any of you act like adolescents in the home with each other?" And I had already made the point that we all do. And they all acknowledge, you would know who these individuals are. We do. We let down our hair. We are very comfortable with this person. And so when we are hurt by something that happens, we feel very comfortable in letting those emotions out. And also, we've experienced the fact that when they don't do what they did toward us, we're happy. So it's perfectly logical for us to make the statement to them that if they wouldn't do that, we would be happy. Because we've experienced happiness when they don't do that. It's perfectly logical for us to conclude that. So the question on the table is, how do we deal with this kind of situation? And the bigger question is, what is that one thing going on in her, and what is that one thing going on in him? The University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years in laboratory settings. And they said, we now know the two key ingredients for successful marriages. And they said it's love and respect. That it doesn't make any difference your economic status, the age of, you know, that you are, or the years that you've been married. All of those variables are important, but they did not determine the success or failure of the marriage. Poverty didn't decide it. Wealth didn't decide it. Health issues didn't decide it. They said when the conversations, particularly when a couple were in conflict, if those conversations were carried along in an attitude of love and respect, those marriages succeeded. When there was a perception that the other had hostility toward me or contempt toward me, those marriages did not succeed. If that was a chronic issue, we're all going to get mad. We're not talking about the fact that we're robotic. We're talking about the fact that years of this kind of hostile, contemptuous, unloving, disrespectful reaction to the spirit of the other person, that the issue isn't the issue. The issue is you. And I really have hostile feelings toward you. I have contempt toward you because of what you do toward me. And when you do that year after year after year, you become roommates at best. You cannot violate this any more than you can step off a cliff and go up. The law of gravity simply won't be violated. So the question is, how do we deal with this? Because you're not the only one that goes through this, and I do not want you to enter into shame. The encouraging thing here is that we can live this way for years, but we can change it relatively quick, because the person you married is still there. They're just afraid to come out. And we're going to apply this, let me say right up front, to the work arena in just a moment. So those of you who are business people, I'm laying the backdrop to this, because I was recently asked to speak at an NBA basketball team, and I was brought in because there was a player that had left, and it had nothing to do with money. It had everything to do with what I'm about to share with you. Then I was asked to speak to the team, and the president said, "You're the first person I've ever let speak to any of my teams. What I'm sharing with you is so exciting, and it's so relevant, whether you're married for 40 years or you've got an NBA basketball team. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if you're an NFL football coach or the wife of that coach. It doesn't make a difference if you're a Navy SEAL or you, or whatever. You're just fishing." So as I got into this, the University of Washington was saying, hey, love and respect is the key, is the key. But then I thought, well, yeah, we all need love and respect. But then they get gender specific. For instance, they began to recognize that during conflict between a husband and wife, they discovered that 85% of the time, here's where we're getting in statistical significance, 85% of the time, those who withdraw and stonewall is the male, was the husband. Just shut down. I'm done. Drop it. Forget it. Over with. Exit. Now, the bell curve would share that 15% are women. My mother stonewalled because my dad had rage issues. They divorced when I was one, then they remarried each other, but then they separated for 6 years. My phone is ringing. Actually, it's my iPhone watch. Sorry about that. So you have this experience that I bring to the table based on my own mom and dad. Mom would stonewall, but women stonewall for different reasons. They stonewall because they fear the response, or they feel that he won't hear her heart, so it's pointless to talk. She just comes to a point where he'll justify himself, dismiss her feelings, and so it's pointless. But not because she doesn't want to connect. It's in her nature to connect with the person with whom she is intimate and is in love with. She can't not do that, and she'll only do it because fear overrides that desire. So here you have this interesting bell curve again, but 85% of those who stonewall were men, but they weren't doing it because they were quote afraid. As they got into this study, they realized that during this conflicted moment with the female, they also had everybody wired physiologically. And they noticed during these conflicted moments, the men looked stoic, but their heartbeats were getting to 99 beats per minute. Do you appreciate what 99 beats per minute mean? It means you're in warrior mode. That's warrior mode. That's the adrenaline, that's what happens to the man before he throws himself on a hand grenade to save his buddies. The women looked like they were out of control, but their heartbeats were relatively calm. Because she knew what she was trying to send a message to him. And if he just said, "I'm sorry, will you forgive me?" she softened immediately. Given that she sensed it was a genuine statement, not just to get him out of trouble. So as they got into this, they began to realize there were gender differences. And when these men would withdraw, the women were asked, "What do you feel at that moment where he stonewalls you and withdraws?" And this is the way they described it. The women said it feels like an act of hostility. What does that mean? The opposite of love. "He hates me," they would say. Because she could not imagine shutting down over what she perceived to be a minor criticism, rooted in her desire to help. "He would just change, we'd be happy. I'm here to help him." It's a biblical idea anyway. Helper suitable. "But he doesn't appreciate my help." So here you have this interesting thing. Do I hear music? Man, I thought maybe I was ascending into heaven. Maybe this is my moment. I hear music. So here you have this interesting dynamic. But But now, my research on these males who were shutting down, I know why the men were shutting down. Among us as men, we have what we call the honor code. And when you get into a moment where the other is feeling, you know, we're really upset with each other, we're lethal. Men are lethal. We could kill each other. And when we're best of friends with another person and we're really mad, we drop it. We separate. We physically get out of there because we know we could kill each other. It is an act of honor to withdraw with your best friend. So, it raises the question, is it an act of hostility or is it an act of honor? At that moment, well, it depends on whether you videotape in pink or videotape in blue. And one of the challenges for us, unless there's an intrinsic evil going on, most of the conflicts are over preference issues, we call them. These are not moral issues, per se. So what happens is that when these moments happen, I know that I'm right. I know my feelings. I know I'm right. So if I'm right, then my spouse has to be. It's very difficult for us to conclude that we could both be right. But we're just different. It's not impossible to conclude that during a conflicted moment she could see it as an act of hostility, and that's right from her feminine perspective. She's not wrong for feeling that way, but he's not wrong for being motivated as an act of honor. And you would think as mature people we would come to a point where we'd realize if this is an intrinsic evil, but we both feel about that issue the way that we do, that neither one of us are wrong, we're just different. Why is it so difficult for us as a society to draw that conclusion? Because we foolishly concluded that because we're equal, we're the same. And so if my spouse doesn't respond in the same way that I do, and I know that I'm the normal and right one, then they are abnormal and wrong, and we've got a problem. And it's named him, or it's named her. On the flip side, they began to evaluate what the women were doing toward the men. And these were clinicians. They had their charts, and they were writing down, watching these women. And when you live in a laboratory, at a certain point, you don't care if you're wired and people are watching, if you're mad at each other, and you're told, just be yourself. And so you do 6-8 months of this. You'd eventually, I don't care. You know, and anyway, you want me to be real, I'll be real. And so they were. They didn't act, maybe early on, you know, self-conscious, but at a certain point, they began to realize, this is authentic stuff. And so they began to, oh, there she is, criticism, complaint. Oh, criticism, complaint. Well, that's not politically correct, you know, in light of where we're at. And, no, I don't care. Criticize, complaint. Yeah, you get it. Yep, she's criticizing, complaining. Yep, criticism, complaint. On and on. You watch it, there it is. And the men were asked, what do you feel when she continues to criticize you? The men said it feels like an act of contempt. She has contempt for who I am. She's using this topic as another opportunity to send me the message she doesn't like who I am unless I change. She has contempt. She's just using this topic to point out to me that she didn't like who I am as a human being. She finds me unacceptable as a person. The issue really isn't the issue. The issue is she doesn't have respect for who I am. Just contempt. But now my research, I realize why the women are doing what they're doing. It's because they care. When they care about somebody, they move toward that person. In the work arena, you have to maybe encourage women to be more assertive. But in the home, you don't have to teach her to be aggressive or assertive. She will move toward her husband until she's given up. But she will get very aggressive. She will move toward to connect, and she will express her feelings to him in the home. And so the men, though, are saying it's an act of contempt. I know why she's doing what she's doing. It's an act of care. And some men think she confronts to control me. No, she confronts to connect. She confronts because she cares. And so you have this, again, question that arises. Is this an act of contempt or is it an act of care? The answer is yes. It just depends on whether or not you're going to videotape in pink or you're going to videotape in blue. whether you huddle with your blue group or you huddle with your pink group, to have your position bolstered. Because if you get with the people who are just like you, they're going to affirm your sentiments. And there are people divorcing right and left on the basis of this kind of dynamic. And people are not mean-spirited. And this is what's so problematic, because they know their hearts are in the right place, but they've just conclude, I've made a mistake, or this person isn't who I thought they were going to be, or we've changed. So they bail and get into another relationship, and suddenly, about 3 years into this thing, realize they're experiencing the same thing. But now they really got to make a go of it, because they don't want other people to conclude that they really are a loser after all. You talk about hell on earth, it's the blended family, for any number of variables, not the least of which are the kids coming together. It's hell on earth. And I've had many people say, I wish I had not gotten out of the first relationship after I heard what you said. We had an honest misunderstanding. There was not ill will, even though we wanted to kill each other at times. It's not to shame the person who's married the second time here, but I'm warning your sons and daughters that you want to warn as well. So give me some grace here. So the University of Washington began to realize love and respect is the key, but they got gender specific, that she leans toward the love side, he leans toward the right side. Now, yes, women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We're not saying that a woman doesn't need respect, and we're not saying that a man doesn't need love. But one of the things we've discovered is, you say to Joe, hey Joe,
yeah,
does your wife love you?
Oh yeah.
Does she like you?
No, not today.
See, all the research points out that women are nurturers by nature, off-the-chart caregivers. Women love to love. Women love to love. At the level of intimacy, they'll continue to love. You can't get her to stop loving unless you wound her. She will love. So men in conflict don't doubt. During a conflict, women say, but I love you. I know you love me. So that doesn't energize him like it would energize you. What he's saying is, you don't respect me. And then, because of where we're at in the culture, women say, well, I don't feel any respect for him. It'd be hypocritical for me to show respect when I don't feel it. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Certainly he's not superior to me, and I'm not inferior to him. I'm not going to be treated like a doormat. I'm not going to give him license to do whatever he wants to do. I'm not going to return to male patriarchy and fear male dominance. I'm not going to be that doormat who subjects herself to emotional abuse. I'm certainly not going to lose a sense of my identity or my power. I'm not going to set the feminist team back 50 years. But other than these things, Dr. Emerson, I'm really open to hearing what you have to say about this. How many of you have sons? What I just shared with you will be the attitude your sweet daughter-in-law, who is loving, she really is, doesn't have a mean bone in her body, but that will be her attitude toward your precious baby boy. And he'll just shut down and withdraw, stonewall, and walk off. And she'll divorce him. Women are divorcing 3 times more than men are now. The walk-away woman has become an epidemic. But we can change. We don't have to continue to do this. This information is revolutionary. Our book has sold 1.7 million now. Our Facebook is 1.7 million. We're getting the word out that this can be done differently. That we're not married to Hitler's distant cousin. Although I had a person come up to me and say, I have to make a confession. I said, well, I really am a distant cousin of Hitler. I said, do you let people know that?
No.
So here you have this interesting thing. The pink and blue differences. And we've done research ourselves. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel unloved at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. It's huge. This is as different as night is from day. This is a pink and blue difference. It's just huge. And it doesn't mean that women don't need respect, as I pointed out, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that women need respect. But the way in which that gets filtered, if you keep showing her disrespect week after week after week, she'll say, how can you treat me disrespectfully and say you love me? Whereas if you show him disrespect week after week, he'll say, I don't deserve this respect. Everybody disrespect. Everybody respects me but you. Why does he land there? Because he's assured of her love, because she loves to love. She's a nurturer by nature. But she is not convinced that he loves her as much as she loves him, given that she fell in love with him. And so during these conflicts, she can feel very dismissed and disrespected, but you keep treating her that way, and then she's going to ask you as you lay there in a sexually intimate moment, do you really love me for me? And when Julie Roberts in Nottingham Hill says, "I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to respect her." No, it doesn't say respect. It's love. And there's not one card in the whole card industry from a husband to wife that says, "Baby, I really respect you." They've tried that. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Or at the end of a movie when the hero rescues the damsel, he doesn't say, "I want to respect you the rest of my life." So women say, "I want respect." You're lying right through your teeth. The only reason you'd say that is you're no longer in love with your husband. I've been through this so much. He's either wounded you or you're in love with someone else. And when you're in love with someone else, it'll be a love again. Right now you just want basic civility because he shows you lack of love and disrespect, and all you want is respect. Why? Because you're no longer in love with him. When you're in love with him, you're going to want him to love you in the way you love him. And it will land that way. Now, I'm not going to debate this as much as this is stated for the purpose of being able to decode, because if you don't decode where she's coming from when she negatively reacts, you're going to miss it. And if you don't decode where he's coming from, you're going to miss it. And you're also going to speak into them situations like, "I love you," and it's not going to really affect him. Unless you understand this. And you can actually do the honorable thing as a man. You're blown away that she would say you're unloving, when the fact is you would literally die for her if a murderer came into the house and attempted to kill her. So you think, why in the world, when I'm trying to do the honorable thing, does she escalate this to the fact that I'm unloving in light of the fact that I'd die for her? But one husband said to his wife, "I love you so much, I'd die for you." She said, "Oh, Harry, you keep saying that, but you never do." So what we've discovered, though, is that transitioning now, there is what, and this is the discovery I made, is what I call the love and respect connection. That without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Without love, she reacts with, and this baby starts to spin. I call it the crazy cycle. And goodwill couples, when the issue isn't the issue, this is the issue. When you see the spirit of your spouse deflate, she's probably feeling unloved, he's probably feeling disrespected, and even if at moments there are different exceptions to that, or Sarah and I will have conflicts, it doesn't mean that we're moving into the crazy cycle. We're just upset over the fact that we don't agree with each other, but she's not feeling unloved, and I'm not feeling disrespected. We're just mad because we see the other person is wrong, but it hasn't gone to that deeper issue. So not every conflict is a crazy cycle conflict. But when you sense that their spirit is deflated, this is deeper than the issue, then you're at a crossroads. Either you dismiss him as childish for feeling disrespected because you couldn't imagine feeling the way he's feeling, and then particularly if he's holding you hostage for his emotions, it's doubly insulting, and so now we're on the crazy cycle even more. And if her spirit deflates because she's feeling unloved and you tell her to grow up and get over it, that you're hypersensitive woman, you're just going to, if she cares about you, you just escalated your problem. It's going expedited. She's not going to leave it alone. Now you're going to go for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Well, how long does this conflict go for some of you? You pout, get angry, punish each other. And we all have this game we play because we're adolescents in the home, you know. We would never do this in business or in other, but we do it with each other because we feel free until the other person says, "I'm done," and walks out. Now the crisis moment causes, whoa, 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 whoa. But this also crazy cycle applies in the business arena. This is partly why I was asked to come speak to that MBA team, because these dynamics happen. That you cannot leave your pink and blue perspectives in the car before you enter the front door of the office. Now, the culture of business is a respect culture. That's the way it's created. But if you don't understand what females are feeling in those settings, and what happens a lot of times, you'll have board meetings where there's a conflict. And if you begin to unpack it, particularly if it's conflict between a man and a woman or women and men, I'm going to tell you that they're potentially on the crazy cycle. And the issue that you're addressing is really secondary to something else that's going on. And if you don't deal with that, if you don't know how to deal with that, if this thing gets out of control, you're going to have people quit, You're going to have mutiny, you're going to have major problems. Even if you have all men, in the case of professional teams, I speak, so look, if at a certain point you have the sense that these men are feeling disrespected for who they are as a human being, you can throw all the money at them you want. They're not going to stay, or their performance is going to drop. But you also have an interesting dynamic between management and employees, that if management comes across in a way that feels uncaring to the employee, employees have a tendency to react in a way that feels disrespectful to the management and to the boss. And when the boss feels disrespected, they can posture themselves in such a way that appears even more uncaring. And at that point in time, the issues that are on the table, and this is where, whether it's in negotiations, people are saying at a certain point it's haggling over, you know, pennies on the dollar. As what? Why can't we get off the deal? Because it's no longer about that. Somebody is feeling dishonored, and somebody is feeling that they're not cared for. And even if you say, I'm here to honor you, and I'm here because I care for you, if they don't believe that, you've got a problem. And I've had so many people come to me who, you know, one guy had 100 women working for him. He said, they're quitting on me right and left, and I got a peer that's got 100 women living, working for them, and women are trying to sign up to work for the guy. He said, I don't get it. I got them insurance policies better than he's got. I gave them everything. I said, let me ask you one question. Yeah. Does that guy write notes to these women asking about personal issues like how their 16-year-old boy's doing in math? Yeah, that guy's writing notes like that all the time. And you can have a conflict and so on and so forth, and all the women are sitting there, gentlemen, and so on and so forth, and you're the manager, and you just put your... And everybody goes along with it until three of those ladies go to the powder room, and you know what they're asking? I wonder how he treats his wife. If you don't think that she's filtering things and drawing conclusions, you can be the best decision maker, you can do more, but if you've got a spirit of hostility, a spirit of harshness, a spirit of anger, she's going to call into question your character. I had a woman who was part of a key management team, all men, just her. And she came up to me after hearing me, and she said, I was dismissed from the management team. And I thought it was because of the glass ceiling, and I was about to litigate because of the feminine bias. And she said, I was listening today, and I remember exactly what I did that prompted all this. I said, well, I'm not going to get into the legal situation, but what happened? She said, well, I was having a bad hair day. And I kind of felt like I was the sister in this group, and I just lit into the CEO. I mean, I was content. That was at that time of the month, and there were a lot of things. And I just, wah! I said, yeah, I'll tell you, every guy was white-knuckling it underneath that table. They would never do that unless they're prepared to get fired. That's a violation of the honor code. You cannot do that. A man who does that toward another man, you got an enemy now. And I'm going to tell you, he got rid of you not because you were a woman, but because he could no longer trust you. You don't violate that. But in this litigious culture, you know, people are not going to come out and say this kind of stuff. And in fact, it's not even politically correct. But all the brain research points in this direction. Leanne Breisendine has done this brain research. She's a physician. Just incredible how she talks about even teen girls want to be liked and connected, and they go nuts under stress when they are unliked and disconnected from their friends. And so, but she said, boys need to be respected. Johnny Feldhahn, a great researcher, in her research on For Parents Only, said, boys react to the feeling of being disrespected. Girls react to the feeling they're being unloved. And even though we are equal in the eyes of God, even that brain research points out that even though there's so much similarity, the genes that make up our whole DNA and our whole chromosomes and all, I mean, the differences there, it's like just incredible. And it affects the way we think, the way we feel, the way we interpret social things. She said it's just off the charts different. And let me tell you, we are not the same. She brings the egg, he brings the sperm. And it's beyond biology. For us to say that it stops there is ludicrous in light of all the research that's being shown. So it's a political agenda that counters it, not the research. And we're at an interesting point in the culture as to what we are going to believe and how we're going to behave in this. So now, in the last few moments, how do we do this on a marital level? How do you even do this in the business arena? Well, there's so much to this in one level. But one thing is to come to a point where we just simply say, you know, unless it's a illegality, it's an immorality, it's something intrinsically evil, as we say, neither one of us are wrong for our opinion here, or even necessarily how we feel about this. We're just different. And so the question is, how do we move forward to create a win-win as best we can? Sometimes we're not going to get what we want. But we can say caringly, I hear you. And here's what I'd say. We're going to make a decision that's contrary to what you want. But we care about what you just said. We respect what you just said. The only thing that we would ask is that once we make the decision and it's proven wrong, you don't come back at us and say, you know, I told you so. That you could very well be correct in this, but we can't remain in a stalemate decision. So I hope you don't feel that we're being dismissive of your perspective here, because in fact you could prove to be right. We just hope you don't judge us when we prove to be wrong. But we've got to make the decision. Okay, that kind of demeanor, respectfully carried, people are going to go along with it. They understand it. People are not stupid. But what they do react to is the feeling that what they just surfaced, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Particularly if they're countering me and I'm now feeling disrespected because they're countering me in a public setting. Or if I come across harsh in a way that appears as though that person has no value as a human being. You got an enemy. And then we have the audacity sometimes to say they just simply can't, you can't handle the truth. And it's our own insensitivities that trigger it, but we place the blame on them for being incapable of hearing our wisdom. No, it's our demeanor that just simply sends them through the roof, but no one's really stopped to say, you know what, the way in which you come across here is very unloving and very disrespectful. And you're creating craziness everywhere you go, and you think you're a great leader. And why is it everybody keeps quitting on you? Because they don't want to follow you and your mission? So the challenge is for us to come to a point where we are able to lock in, not wrong, just different. Pink is not wrong for not being blue. Blue is not wrong for not being pink. But it's a politically incorrect thing to kind of maybe talk about this, particularly because women say, I need respect. I need respect. You know, you'll get this pushback real quick. They'll hijack the conversation. So what happens is that it's avoided because we don't want to go through all that. And somehow if a woman needs to be cared for, there she must be this sweet little woman that should be pregnant and barefoot in the home and shouldn't be part of the work arena. And so there is all of this emotion that's attached to something that's extremely important, and that is the fact that women care. And when you allow for that value to drive your decisions, you're probably going to be pretty successful. Not to be dismissed at all. But even so, you come to a point where we say neither one of us is wrong, we're just different. As different as pink is from blue. There's another thing that we come to a point where we got to decode, because once we get on that crazy cycle, we've got to be able to decode, is this woman really trying to diss me here in this meeting? Is that her motive? I mean, she could be totally innocent in the way she's expressing herself. She expresses herself that way to her sister, to her mother. You know? But if you think that she's being disrespectful in the way she's delivering it, when in fact she's not, she's actually trying to be caring and helpful, and she actually feels the freedom that she's part of the team and she's kind of like your older sister, and so she treats you like the younger brother, but only because she cares, and she works night and day for you, but then you personalize and think she's dissing you and humiliating you in front of everybody, and so now you react and you're harsh and you see her spirit, and this thing gets ugly quick, and people have seen relationships damaged very quickly because they don't decode what's really going on here. She's not trying to be disrespectful. If you personalize the fact that you think he's an uncaring human being when the fact is this guy gives you everything, he sees himself as sacrificing everything, he's sacrificed for you, but yeah, he has the moments of harshness and anger, because have you met his old man? His old man was brutal. His old man was a -2 on a negative 1 to 0 to a positive 1 to 10, his old man was a -2, and your boss is a positive 1. Do you realize how much progress he's made? Unfortunately, your dad is a 5. And so what you're doing is you're comparing him to your dad. If you look at the fact that this guy is a good-hearted individual who's got some issues, but it's not because he's mean-spirited or unloving, he's just come around, you know, it's been a long time in coming, but he's made such progress. Somehow we've got to figure out the history of people. Why are they reacting this way? Am I personalizing this because they really have something against me? They really hate me? Or they don't even see it? Not yet. And this is why they can be in stunned disbelief. And they would acknowledge, yeah, you know, I'm sorry about that. So we have to be able to decode what's really going on here. Is he really trying to be unloving? And in fact, one of the things that I say a lot of times, when you get on that crazy cycle, I was unloving to Sarah 100%, she reacts 10% disrespectful, and I'm offended. Why? Because I don't want to take a hard look at what I did in the first place that triggered the crazy cycle. I pick it up where she's disrespectful. I say to guys, did you do or say something prior to that that felt unloving to her? Oh yeah. Like what? Well, I threw a dish that was very important to her up against the wall and it smashed. But I didn't throw it to her like my dad did toward my mom. But then she cursed at me with words of contempt. That woman is so disrespectful and sick and tired. See, he's off and running now on the disrespect. And unless you ask him, he has selected a snapshot of that movie. He doesn't tell you the introduction to the whole thing. He just conveniently starts videotaping for you where she says something contemptuous. How convenient. And I have women who will say to me, my husband is the most unloving human being. And the thing I love about women is they've got photographic memories when it comes to emotional intimacy. They can remember conversations. He said, then I said, he said, and I said. So I've learned that. So when the woman picks up, she picks up the thing, this is what he did, And then I say to her, did you say or do something prior to that that felt disrespectful? Oh yeah, yeah. But he should know I didn't mean it. And so women are not unaware of this. They just think he should know that I'm trying to get a message through to him. But once you understand the fact that he's extremely vulnerable to the perception of disrespect in a way that you aren't, and seeing even though we all need love and respect equally, the point I'm trying to make is she tends to filter that conversation sometimes. It's like a daughter and a son. You're a mother, and you come at your daughter the same way you come at your son. You come at your son the same way you come at your daughter, right? With your daughter, when you come at her, she was a physician, good friend of ours, she had this daughter, and she said, I'll intentionally provoke her to get her to talk, because she's just shut down on me. She won't talk to me. So I'll come at her, and she'll come back at me, and then she'll start crying, and then I'll start crying, and then we talk for a half hour in the bed, and then I say, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have reacted that way. No, I'm sorry, Mom, I shouldn't have reacted. And then they seek forgiveness, they hug until the next time. It's called the ocean of emotion. And they feel very comfortable in it. They will do that dance. So the mother does the same thing toward her son, and he just shuts down. Just shuts down, just boom. She can't get through to him. And then she thinks, something wrong with my boy. No, the daughter doesn't filter that through the disrespect grid. She intuitively knows this is ultimately going to increase the love between us, even though I don't want to go there. I know I'm going to feel better afterwards. She filters it all through a different grid, even though the behavior of the mother is the same, and it just depends. Is it disrespectful on the part of the mother toward the daughter, or is it loving? The daughter's going to conclude it's overall loving. What does the boy filter it? As disrespect. But what we've done as a culture is we now dismiss the sentiments of the male as narcissistic, egotistical. That they have issues, they have problems. And yet we don't bark when men out of honor give their lives for women. Happened in Aurora when that man opened up gunfire in that theater. And some of the female commentators were stunned because they learned that there were three boyfriends with their girlfriends there, and those three girlfriends walked out alive while the boys were dead. Why? Because the boys threw themselves on the girls. That's what we do. They all took the bullets and they died that day. And the female commentators, what's with this? And there wasn't one man in this country that says, what's with this? I mean, it's silly, just as we get laughter right here. It's silly. But we've come to a point where we don't even understand this. Instead, we label this as narcissistic rather than getting a deeper understanding that men are motivated by issues of honor and are very sensitive to issues of dishonor, just as women are highly sensitive to the feeling that you really don't care about me as a person. You don't value me. And then I'll conclude with this, that there comes a moment when we have to say to ourselves, is this person an individual with whom I have a conflict, either in the home or in the business, an ill-willed person, or are they a good-willed person? if we say that they're ill-willed because I'm feeling unloved or disrespected, when the truth may be they're feeling unloved and disrespected, and they're only reacting that way because I triggered this thing, but even so, they may be coming across not even aware of stepping on our air hoses, I say, that we're gasping for air, and so you have to step back and give the person the benefit of the doubt. There are very few ill-willed people out there. There are people who get, they appear that way, particularly if they feel threatened, but overall, if we just assume as we go to work or in the home, that our spouse or our workers don't get up early in the morning to storyboard ways to bug us. They're not consciously, willfully thinking, I'm going to irritate this person, unless now we're so far into the crazy cycle that it has become a war. But in the general course of things, are we going to conclude that we're goodwill? Let me conclude with, years ago, Stephen Covey wrote a book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, and he talked about the fact that he was on a subway when this happened, but I'm going to put this on a bus ride. And it shows the importance of decoding what's really going on. When the issue isn't the issue, it's important that we decode. But let's suppose you and I and 40 other people are going to take a bus ride from from New York down to the southern tip of Florida, and it's going to be an all-night red-eye special. We're waiting, there are four seats here that are still empty. It's going to be a full bus. We'll wait. Oh, finally. Well, here comes a man. Oh, he's got three kids. And he comes down the aisle, sits in front of you, looking out the window, and the bus door is shut. The bus starts rolling down. About 5 minutes out, you hear one of the kids screaming, and you realize they never sat down. They've been running up and down the aisle. They elbowed somebody. You set up. Everybody sets up. The dad's staring out the window. He's not doing anything but just staring out the window and steaming. These kids are out of control. And so finally, everybody looks at you to get the father's attention. Sir! He doesn't respond. Sir! No response. Sir! And then finally, yes, what? Your children, would you have them sit down? We're going to have a red-eye special all the way to Florida. We'd like to get a little sleep here. Can you have them be seated, please? And he looks at you, and then he looks at everybody. He's got daggers in their eyes. And he says, I'm sorry, sir. Everybody, I'm sorry. We just came from the hospital. My wife, their mother, just died. And then he started staring out the window again. Now, where did your emotions go? I mean, they flip-flopped, didn't they? I mean, kids out of control, anti-adult, anti-authority, permissive parent, liberal parent. I mean, we were angry at him, we were angry at the kids. If they were my kids, we were angry, we were irritated, we were annoyed. But then we got a little piece of information that helped us decode that the dad is in shock. He just lost his lover. That explains his behavior. And the kids, they're acting out because they've never lost their mother before. And once we got that information, our emotions flip-flopped. Everything changed, yet in one sense, nothing changed. How can it be that everything changed but nothing changed? Because when we get the right information, we're able to decode. And some of us are in a marital bus ride. We're in a workplace bus ride. And there are people who are reacting spasmodically wild as they're running up and down the aisle. Others are stonewalling, staring out the window, ignoring us. And we've taken up offense. Why? For one reason, we've not decoded. We have not decoded that they have a pain here. And they're reacting this way because they either feel unloved as a human being or they feel disrespected as a human being. And maybe that's why Ephesians 5:33 says what it says, that a husband must love his wife and a wife must respect her husband. Maybe that's why the Lord knew all along. And he gave us a revelation to remind us what he calls us to do. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, that's it for today. Everyone, thank you so much. Man, dealing with some real realities of life and relationships here, and just so thankful for the message. And again, in regards to tonight, if anyone's interested in the Love and Respect Conference, you can also stop back here too at the table on your way out. So thank you so much. Have a good day.